Welcome to Changing Worldviews podcast with Sharon Hughes, broadcast journalism you can trust to bring you the truth regarding the issues of our day and the worldviews behind them.
We've entered into 5784 on the Hebrew calendar, the year of the open door.
The new global governance report talking about what will be the trigger issues that could compel the major countries of the world to have to come together and form a global system of government.
The issues that you're raising, you're not answering the question. Do you think it
I
was...
Forget about critical thinking. We don't even have logic.
China's military is becoming a formidable force. In 2022, it had a standing army of just over 2 million, and it has the largest navy in the world.
There's going to be a continuing military buildup in Iran in conjunction with Russia.
Our fears are that we cause significant harm to the world. I think if this technology goes wrong, it can go quite wrong.
A man of science who sought to create a man after his own image.
Now, here's Sharon.
The value of human life was low. They would capture the Eastern European Slavic people and bring them into Rome and made servants out of them. And there were so many of these that the word Slav took on the connotation of a servant, and the pronunciation changed over time, so Slav is now pronounced slave.
So, because today is St. Patrick's Day, what better time to use this opportunity to separate truth from myth? As a matter of fact, I talk about this every St. Patrick's Day in one way or another, because what has happened, like many of our holidays, they have devolved into myths or fantasies, such as St. Patrick's Day. For instance, leprechauns, pots of gold, and drinking beer, but rarely do you hear anyone talk about who St. Patrick was. He actually was one of the most successful, if I can use that term, missionaries of all time, way back in 437 AD. And you'll hear some of the fascinating history about him with our guest today, William Federer. But I just want to say up front that not only did St. Patrick use the shamrock to describe the Trinity to those that he was trying to help come to know Jesus and understand what God is really like, well, he ended up in about a 30-year time period of bringing and baptizing over 120,000 people to the Lord. And how many churches do you think he started? Well, he started 300, and all of it in Ireland, where he had been taken captive by pirates as a slave at the age of 16 and ended up being able to escape sometime later, went back to his home. He was a Roman citizen of Britain. He became ordained and he ended up going back to the land of his captivity, Ireland. That was not a Christian nation at the time and was filled with Druids that tried to kill him more than a dozen times. And yet he survived to do a marvelous work there in Ireland. So that's what we should be remembering as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, because it's not called Leprechaun Day. It's not called Pots of Gold Day. It's called St. Patrick's Day. And so to that end, this is my conversation with William Federer, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, and also historian. Here it is.
Hello to all of our Irish friends. Who was St. Patrick? He wasn't a leprechaun, he wasn't an elf, nor fool of Blarney, as Bill Federer wrote in a recent article. He did not drink green beer or wear a Kiss Me, I'm Irish pin, but what he did was more notable than a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. When Patrick was a teenager, his community was left unguarded as Roman legions were withdrawn to defend Rome. So unprotected, Britain was attacked by raiders who carried away thousands of people. And Patrick was one of those who was captured and sold as a slave in Ireland. Now, Ireland was ruled by the Druids at that time. And by the way, the Druids believed that forests were inhibited by spirits which needed to be appeased. And this belief has been passed down now as elves and leprechauns. Thomas Cahill wrote in How the Irish Saved Civilization. He wrote about the Druids this way, quote, "They sacrificed prisoners of war to the war gods and newborns to the harvest gods. They displayed proudly heads of their enemies in their temples and on their palisades. They even hung them from their belts as ornaments, used them as footballs in victory celebrations." Did you know that about the Druids? Well, anyway, for 6 years, Patrick was a slave. He herded animals for his druid master. But how did Patrick become St. Patrick? To tell us about this very interesting piece of history is William Federer, modern-day historian and author of St. Patrick. Bill, so good to have you on the show again. Thank you for being with us.
Sharon, it's great to be with you.
You know, holidays are something all of us generally take for granted, and for the most part, they simply mean a day off from work or school, you know, except the significant ones such as Thanksgiving or Christmas. But nevertheless, holidays are a big part of American life, and many holidays are religious in nature. We know that, but some are not. But what can you tell us about how holidays become a public or national holiday? You know, what's the process?
Well, it's an act of Congress. It was in 1796 that Washington's birthday was first established. And then tradition happened where after Lincoln, several states in the North were celebrating Lincoln's birthday. And so as the years went by, they ended up calling it President's Day. Although on the books, it is still only Washington's birthday. So, you know, you look at your calendar and it says President's Day. There's absolutely nothing in any congressional record that calls it President's Day. It's always been Washington's birthday, and it still is on the congressional law. Some of the other ones, you know, the 4th of July, the Independence Day, the pilgrims on Thanksgiving. Mother's Day, it was a long time in coming where, you know, it took lobbying. Another was the first Thanksgiving. Different presidents declared days of Thanksgiving, but it was one lady that spent years and years lobbying and finally got Congress to pass, and Lincoln signed it, to institute an annual national day. It's always been an effort by somebody to make a statement, that, you know, the Martin Luther King Day and so forth. But Patrick's Day is unique because predates America, predates all the countries in Europe just about, and goes all the way back to the 400s in Ireland. And so, neat story, and I'm thrilled to be able to talk about it.
As far as St. Patrick's Day goes, most of us don't know why we celebrate it. So what can you tell us?
Well, you know, March 17th, 1962, President John F. Kennedy gave a presidential address honoring St. Patrick. It's not a day set aside where there's no work, but it's been recognized. But Patrick was born in Britain, and he died on March 17th, 461 A.D. in Ireland. Britain was a Roman colony, and the situation in Rome back then is sort of similar to what's going on in America today. The Roman Empire was being overrun by illegal immigrants, and they kept their own languages, so it broke up the unity of the Roman Empire. They didn't all learn Latin and assimilate into the Roman culture. Rome had its armies stretched all around the world, from Britain to Masada over in the Middle East to North Africa, and that stretched them and put them in dangerously low ranks. They had dependence on foreign trade. They were shipping in their grain from North Africa. And when one tribe, the Vandals it was, conquered North Africa, they cut off the grain supply so that the country of Rome wasn't able to counterattack. They had welfare. The entire city of Rome was on welfare. They had injustice in the legal system, favoring those with more financial means. They had violence in sports, the preoccupation with blood and guts, which literally happened in the Colosseums. The value of human life was low. They would capture the Eastern European Slavic people and bring them into Rome and made servants out of them. And there were so many of these that the word Slav took on the connotation of a servant, and the pronunciation changed over time, so Slav is now pronounced slave.
I find that interesting. My father was Serbian, making me Slavic. So, wow.
Well, we have to take a break here.
When we come back, more on our topic, how did Patrick become St. Patrick?
Sharon Hughes, your genuine alternative voice, bringing you commentary on the issues that matter most. If you'd like to change the world, won't you partner with us? For a donation of $15 a month, you'll receive our monthly Best of the Best program on CD and Sharon's monthly Saying It Like It Is letter. Just go to changingworldviews.com/donation page and sign up online. Sign up today to begin receiving all these benefits now. You'll not only help us stay on the air in your area, but it's a way to let Sharon know you're standing with her.
Is there really modern-day slavery in our country? Yes, and it's called human trafficking. Men, women, and children across America are being lured into this sad reality. Victims are promised jobs, wealth, and opportunities for themselves and their families. But instead, they endure isolation from the rest of the world and are often mentally, physically, or sexually abused. It is important to learn about the harsh reality of human trafficking so we can help end this form of modern-day slavery. A message from the Christian Medical Association.
So, Bill, before we continue, does your family serve the traditional corned beef and cabbage dinner on this holiday?
My wife's half Irish. Her mom was Callahan. Yeah, she wears the Kiss Me I'm Irish and puts the green stuff all around the house and the fun time.
Talking about St. Patrick, about the age of 14 that he was captured and taken as a slave.
The Roman Empire was declining. They had all kinds of problems from infidelity and perversion. The 5th century historian Salvian wrote, "The Goths lie but are chaste. The Franks lie but are generous. The Saxons are savage in cruelty, but admirable in chastity. What hope can there be for the Romans when the barbarians are more pure than they?" So anyway, they had unwanted infants. The tradition was that a baby would be born, lay it at the dad's feet, and if he picked it up, they'd keep it. If he didn't, the mother would take it out to some temple and leave it, and it would die and get eaten by animals. But the early Christians would hear the babies crying and gather them up and raise them. But it was a very pagan culture that was in decline, and Patrick was born into that. Rome had been attacked by Attila the Hun, so it pulled back its legions from the frontiers and left the frontiers defenseless. Britain, Roman colony, was defenseless. And so the Vikings began attacking, and Patrick was just a young boy when these Vikings captured him and about 1,000 others and carried them away as slaves and sold him in Ireland. He was purchased by Milchu, an Ulster chieftain who was also a druid. The druids were the pagan people that controlled Ireland. Basically, Halloween came from the druids. It was a pagan culture. And imagine yourself being all alone, a 16-year-old boy, a slave in this druid culture. Well, Patrick began to remember what his parents taught him. His dad and his father were involved in the ministry. This is what he wrote in his confession. Now, most of these quotes that I'm giving you are from his confessions. Later in life, Patrick was accused of something, we don't know what, by the church leadership in Britain, and they wanted him to come back to answer questions. He refused to go back. He sent a letter explaining his life story, and that's called the Confessions of Patrick. And sort of what was good, bad turned into good. If he had not been accused, we wouldn't have his life story. He says, "I, Patrick, a sinner, my father was Calpurnius, a deacon, son of Pontitus, a priest of the village of Bonnervin Tambernay in Britain." So back then, you know, priests could marry, but his parents were involved in the ministry. So he writes this. He says, "After I came to Ireland, every day I had to tend sheep, and many times a day I prayed. The love of God and his fear came over me more and more, so that in a single day I would say as many as 100 prayers. And this one, even when I was staying in the woods and on the mountains, I used to get up for prayer before daylight, through snow, through frost, through rain. I felt no harm because the spirit within me was fervent." And it says, "He comforted me as a father would a son. And then one night I heard in my sleep a voice saying to me, 'It is well that you fast. Soon you will go to your own country.' Again, after a short while, I heard a voice saying, 'See, your ship is ready.' And it was not near, but at a distance of perhaps 200 miles. And I had never been there before, nor did I know a living soul there. So I took flight. I left the man whom I had been with for 6 years, and I feared nothing till I came to the ship. And so he escaped, came to the ship, and they were putting wolfhounds on it to take to Europe to sell as hunting dogs. So he got passage on there, but lo and behold, there was a storm, and it blew the ship off track, and it landed in Gaul or France. And the tribes that had been overrunning Europe had just gone through that area. You know, the people in that period thought Attila the Hun was the Antichrist, because he would literally wipe out cities of 75,000 people, just ride in with his mob. And Goths and the Vandals had just gone through that area of Gaul. And Patrick writes, "After 3 days, we reached land, and 28 days, we traveled through deserted country. We lacked food, and hunger overcame us. The captain said to me, 'Tell me, Christian, you say your God is great. Why then do you not pray for us, seeing that we are suffering hunger?' Patrick said, 'Be fully converted with all your heart to the Lord my God, for nothing is impossible with him.' And it says, 'In a short time, a herd of pigs came across the road in front of their eyes. They killed many of them and stopped for 2 nights to recover their strength." So anyway, Patrick makes it back to Britain. He was kidnapped at 16, escaped at 22, came back to Britain, and stayed there until he was 40 years old. He had a dream, and he writes this. He says, "In the depth of the night, I saw a man named Victoricus coming as if from Ireland with innumerable letters, and he gave one to me, and I read the heading, which ran, 'The Cry of the Irish.' And as I was reading out, I thought I heard at that moment the voice of those who were beside the wood of Focaloth near the Western Sea in Ireland, and they called out, 'Please, holy boy, come and walk among us again.' Their cry pierced to my very heart. I could read no more, so I awoke. Well, he took this as a call from God. He prepared, and in 432 A.D., with 12 others, he went over to Ireland. There were about 30 chieftains across Northern Ireland, and his idea was to go and confront the chief, knowing that if he would convert, his whole tribe would.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have to take another break. Stay with us. When we get back, more with Bill Federer.
Changing Worldviews with Sharon Hughes, the radio show you can trust to learn something new from and count on to report the good news to. If you have a story about the good things that are happening in our world today, Sharon would love to share it with our audience. Just send it to Sharon@ChangingWorldviews.com or to the address we'll give a little later on in the show. Good news, concise news, real news. That's what you get with Changing Worldviews.
Our special offer this month is a CD pack series, The Emergence of the Religious Political Left. The election is coming up. It is a battle over power, and there are some that will stop at nothing to gain votes, including using religion, even Christianity, to get votes. So for $25, we will send you our CD pack series on the emergence of the religious political left, such as Jim Wallis, founder of Sojourners, who supported Barack Obama in his elections, but calls President Trump's policies antichrist.
Today, Jesus would have been the one celebrating the Black Lives Matter movement, shoulder to shoulder with his neighbors, especially those who are immigrants or refugees. Jesus would furiously defend our warming planet, regardless of whether that activism was popular.
Just go to changingworldviews.com and click on the donate button, or send your check to Changing Worldviews, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California, 95924. We'd love to send this to you, and thank you ahead of time for helping us cover airtime costs.
Thank you, everyone, for staying with us. William Federer today talking to us about St. Patrick. Why do we celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Well, Patrick confronted these chieftains and converted them, and he baptized 120,000 people. He started 300 churches. 12 different times he felt life-threatening situations. He was in them, and once he was kidnapped for 2 weeks, and they tried to kill him. The Druids were very upset that they were being displaced as the advisors to the king. Anyway, Patrick used the three-leaf clover to teach the Trinity. It was those churches, those 300 churches that he started, that sent missionaries back to Europe to evangelize all those tribes that I told you about that were overrunning the Roman Empire. Also brought with them their Code of Patrick, which was how they would deal with laws, and that became the basis for English common law, which is the basis for United States law. So Patrick made a tremendous impact on our entire culture, and he was one of the first abolitionists, because he writes a letter condemning this one king who is capturing Irish. But it's all in the book, St. Patrick. And if anybody's interested, they can call our toll-free number. It's 888-USA-WORD, 888-USA-WORD.
I appreciate the background you gave us, that St. Patrick lived in a time like almost our days here. What do you think?
You know, one of the things I've talk on is how there's freedom for all religions in America because of the Christian founders of our country making the decision. So in other words, in Saudi Arabia, it's the death penalty if you convert from Islam to somebody else. In atheistic China, they're still arresting house church leaders. Where did tolerance come from? In a nutshell, tolerance is a Christian idea. The founders, including Thomas Jefferson, quoted from Jesus as the example of tolerance. And so here, you know, everybody's tolerated except the belief system that gave birth to the idea of tolerance. I wrote an article, Three Secular Reasons Why America Should Stay Under God. First is rights. Do you like the idea of rights that the government cannot take away? Well, if you like rights the government can't take away, those rights have to come to you from a power higher than the government. Founders said all men are endowed by their creator with certain innate rights. John F. Kennedy said the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. Well, if there's no God, where do the rights come from? The state. And the state becomes the new God, and what the state giveth, the state can take it away. And even an atheist should be in favor of America staying under God. You know, Harry S. Truman, being equal. Why do we decide people are equal? Harry S. Truman said, we believe all men are created equal because we're created in the image of God. Again, if there's no God, who decides who's equal? The government does. Well, in Hitler's government, he decided Untermensch, inferior mankind, and through millions of people to the gas chamber. Stalin decided that the Ukrainians were inferior, basing it on Darwin's evolution, and killed 25 million Ukrainians. So if there is no God and government's the one deciding who's equal, then we're setting ourselves up for some more atrocities. So yeah. Anybody that wants to be equal needs to have a standard higher than the government has to be God.
We are out of time here, but let's just put an exclamation point on the fact that we need to read history. And thank you. This has been very interesting. Would you like to give your website address?
Sure. The website's AmericanBooks.info, AmericanBooks.info, and the toll-free number is 888-USA-WORD, 888-USA-WORD.
Thank you again, Bill, for being with us.
Thank you, Sharon.
Well, I hope you found that interesting, and I'd like to also let you know about a film that CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, put out a couple of years ago called I Am Patrick. It's a very well-done film, a movie, not just a documentary, that I think you would find interesting. You could watch it online. You can also order a DVD from CBN. We're going to take one more break, and when we come back, I'm going to wrap it up with something that you're not going to want to miss. Stay with me.
Hello, this is James Robison. I'm encouraging all of you to join us in prayer for the upcoming elections. We must not only participate with active participation in the vote, but also prayerful participation. Jesus said if you want your house to stand, you must build it on a solid foundation. He said the unshakable rock is hearing and doing what he says, following his word. In this critical point in human history, we must have godly leaders, those who will abide by his irrefutable, unshakable principles. I'm asking you to join us in prayer that people will vote their convictions based upon principles, and vote for those who will uphold principles, not sell out to political parties or partisan positions. You can sign up for the Pray the Vote Presidential Prayer Team website, www.presidentialprayerteam.org. Become a part of this vitally important effort with me as we pray for the upcoming election.
Our special offer this month is a CD pack series, The Emergence of the Religious Political Left. The election is coming up. It is a battle over power, and there are some that will stop at nothing to gain votes, including using religion, even Christianity, to get votes. So for $25, we will send you our CD pack series on the emergence of the religious political left, such as Jim Wallis, founder of Sojourners, who supported Barack Obama in his elections, but calls President Trump's policies antichrist.
Today, Jesus would have been the one celebrating the Black Lives Matter movement, shoulder to shoulder with his neighbors, especially those who are immigrants or refugees. Jesus would furiously defend our warming planet, regardless of whether that activism was popular.
Just go to changingworldviews.com and click on the donate button, or send your check to Changing Worldviews, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California, 95924. We'd love to send this to you, and thank you ahead of time for helping us cover airtime costs. Okay, thanks for staying with me. So some interesting things about St. Patrick's Day. According to PBS, if an Irishman came to America on St. Patrick's Day, he might be a little bit shocked by the leprechaun outfits and the green beer guzzlers. To be Irish in America is no rare thing. There's about 34.5 million people in the United States that claim Irish heritage. But despite the sizable Irish-American population, the food recipes, dishes that Americans perceive as traditional Irish food are not entirely representative of actual Irish food. We could go into some detail about all of that, but I will just tell you that I love corned beef and cabbage, and there's a new dish, well, not so new, it's been a few years now that I've made it, that is a traditional Irish dish, and it's called Colconan, and it's mashed potatoes, but it has sautéed onions and cabbage in it, and oh my, it is absolutely delicious. If you want to try something different for St. Patrick's Day, you might want to try that. Okay, so shifting gears here, back to St. Patrick himself. There are many quotes that you can find online that he said, but one that I have up on our website this year that pretty much summarizes much of what St. Patrick wrote, and it's this blessing, quote, "May the strength of God pilot us, may the wisdom of God instruct us, may the hand of God protect us, may the word of God direct us, be always ours for now and forevermore. And there's a very favorite Irish hymn that I want to play for you that pretty much reflects what I just read, and it's sung by Nathan Pacheco. So until I see you next time, this is Sharon Hughes saying it like it is, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Changing World Views. You can follow Sharon on social media or listen to her on many online platforms. Just go to our website, changingworldviews.com, for all the links. And until next time, stay informed, stay alert, because we are indeed living in a changing world.